Welcome, David. Thank you for talking with us today. We're really excited to be able to share some of your knowledge with the nonprofits and youth workers that we are connected with in the field. We're hoping to hear some about best ways of reaching out to our audience, getting our message out into the communities where we work, and gaining some support toward the work that we're all hoping to do. So, first thing I kind of would like to hear your thoughts on is the idea of when I'm making a post on social media, or when I'm writing a blog entry, anything like that, should I be talking about my own organization, or should I be talking more directly about the folks that are involved with our work or the people that I'm trying to get involved with my work?
Well, Jen, so first let me say it's great to be here, and it's always fun to have these kind of marketing conversations. And thank you for starting with an easy question. Because, of course, the answer is that you always want to start with your community, with the folks that you serve, with the causes that you believe in. You do not want to have an organizational centered message. You want to have a prospect centered or donor centered or person served centered message. So always, always, always really important. Because, you know, one of the sound bites that I shared, and I think we even shared this in the program that we did together at Youth Catalytics, is that people aren't tired of hearing from you. And they're really not. So any nonprofit, any, you know, even in the for-profit world, any company, any organization, any brand, they're not tired of hearing from you. What they are tired of is they're tired of hearing from you about you. So don't make it about you. Make it about the cause. Make it about the movement. You know, make it bigger. Make it bigger than yourselves. Bigger than your staff, bigger than your latest project, bigger than your latest award. Really, you know, you have to build one of the things I also talk about in the Do It Marketing book is build the tribe before the tent. Build the tribe before the tent. So if you can gather people around the virtual campfire, and the virtual campfire might be your cause, the virtual campfire might be your prospects, it might be your donors, it might be your person served, it might be the communities that you're serving, but put them right next to the campfire, and then gather the audience around their success, around their challenges, around their journey, around the, you know, make them the hero of the story. There's two kinds of people that enter a cocktail party, and we'll talk about social media and kind of the whole social media cocktail party analogy may even be getting kind of old. But think about the two different ways you can enter into a cocktail party or, you know, a nice big gala event. You know, someone can walk in, and the feeling that they give off is, here I am. Right? And it's all about them and their fabulous gown and their fabulous jewelry. There's other kinds of people that enter a room or enter a party, and they're just so glad to be there. And the message that they convey is, wow, there you are. There you are. You want to be a there you are kind of outfit. You don't want to be a here I am.
All right. That's great. Thank you. I like that image of gathering people around the campfire before you set up your whole camp. I think we sometimes as a field, we spend a lot of time, especially communication managers, trying to get every little piece right and outline our message. And we sort of forget about the interactive, the fact that it's always just you and me talking, right?
Right.
Okay, well, so another thing that we hear from people a lot is that they don't know what to say. They're like, I don't have a lot to say. I don't have a lot to offer. What, you know, how much it takes so much time to craft this perfect message. And I've heard you say before that in a way that's backwards. It's more like create as much content as you can and expect that some of it isn't going to make the cut. So can you say more about that?
Absolutely. And it's like taking, another good analogy here. It's like taking photographs. People say, oh, you're such a great photographer. And, you know, any great photographer, whether amateur or professional, their hallmark is they take a lot of photos. because the more photos you take, the more good ones you're going to get. If you only shoot five pictures, chances that any of them being especially good are going to be pretty low. So I do think you need to be prolific. It's such a gift. I mean, oh my gosh, the folks that have been around the nonprofit world for any length of time, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, further back than that, the tools that we have available now, it used to be, okay, we got to print the 4-color brochure, we get one shot on goal, we're doing the big campaign this year, it's going out, it needs to be perfect, we're going to use it 17 different ways, we're going to use it for fundraising and grants and donors and getting partners, and we're using it all different kinds of ways. Now, you can publish your own content on demand, and it takes minutes instead of months. Value-rich websites, blogs, YouTube videos, research, resources, insights, opinions. Here's another thing that I just came across, and I think our nonprofit folks would be very, very interested in this, because this is a little bit of a dangerous territory, but I think it's, risky is the new safe, and safe is the new risky. People say, you know what? Don't publish information. Information is a total commodity. And to a certain extent, I agree with that. The internet doesn't need more information published on it. It doesn't need my information. It doesn't need your information. You know what it needs? It needs opinion. It needs insight. It needs guidance. It needs recommendations. And certainly, if your organization and I think all of our organizations are positioned to forward a cause, to raise awareness, to raise money, to cause change, social change, economic change, governmental change, healthcare change, whatever it might be, of course you have an opinion. Of course you have a slant. Of course you have some recommendations and some guidance. Now, a lot of folks say, well, that's kind of risky because we may turn some people off and we may irritate some people. I would say, listen, if you're not irritating some people, you're not doing your job right. Because really, and here's the final soundbite on this, Jen, if you don't risk turning some people off, you're never going to turn anybody on. So if you're wondering about, gosh, what should our next piece of content be? What should our next 2 or 3 minute YouTube video be? What should our next blog post be about? What's the next piece of content that we should publish? Don't say, oh, we don't have any new information. There's no real breaking news about, there's no breaking factual news about this topic or about this issue. Don't worry about that. Let's have a manifesto. What's your opinion? What's your rant? What's your cause? What's the banner that you're waving in the streets? What is it you're shouting from the rooftops? Because number one, that's going to be newsworthy. That's going to attract attention. That's going to start to make some ripples. And that has a chance. That has a chance of being shared and spread and multiplied. So, the final question here is, do you want to be scared, scared of taking a stance or scared of sharing an opinion? Do you want to be scared or do you want to be shared?
Oh, nice. I see how you did that. That was very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was good.
Golf clap, right? Golf clap.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's good. I mean, what I like about the idea, the reminder to sort of keep producing, just produce and produce and produce, is that it takes away that fear of, oh, this has to be a perfect thing. It's like the photographer doesn't stop at every single click and worry that one shot is missing some tiny element. It's a process of just creating. But I like this, you've given it another twist, which is, don't always be thinking that you have to be right in some kind of factual way, to really use your thinking mind, use your expertise and experience to inform the flavor of your message.
Absolutely. Really the worst thing, I think one of our biggest assets in the nonprofit world is the passion for what we do and the passion for our cause and the passion for the mission and the results that our organization creates. So if you try and sterilize that, if you try and be safe, if you try and color inside the lines, you're giving up your biggest, hugest asset, which is your passionate advocacy for changing the world or making an impact or making a difference for the communities and the people that you're dedicated to serving. So don't put the big guns away when it's time to make the most important kinds of marketing decisions and communication efforts, because that's where you've got the most power.
Right. All right. Well, thank you. That's helpful. I think another question that comes up for me personally is, once you've got more content, you're getting more practice about, just producing things regularly and sharing them, then we get back these little reports from our various social media platforms, here's how many people saw your post, here's how many shared your post, here are your new followers, and we're all trying to make sense of those metrics, and we're not, most of us in the nonprofit world are not experts in that. So what would you give as one or two tips for really bringing more people to that, being able to get that content in front of people? How do you get more followers or more likes or more, what's one easy way to invite the people who are already in our sphere but just maybe aren't in the social media world as much as we'd like?
Well, and you raise a great, great point. And so I'm going to start with a little bit of reverse logic or a little bit of contrarian thinking about the premise of your question. If you say, okay, the people I want to reach are not necessarily on social media, how do I get them on the social media so that they follow me? I think that's a faulty premise. If they're not on social media, it doesn't make sense to try and attract them to your social media account. So the real question is, how do we filter and sort for the folks that are on social media? What can we publish? What can we post? How can we offer value and invite engagement? And there's lots of options, of course. So blogging, podcasting, videos, photo sharing, presentations, ebooks, press releases, all kinds of crazy things. But I also wouldn't bend over backwards to go where your influencers and your folks that you want to reach are not. So, don't go where they're not. Go where they are. And what that might mean is maybe for your organization or for your demographic, it's not social media at all. Maybe you should be using a different strategy. Maybe you should be using a speaking strategy, because these guys go to conferences and events and they've got groups around the country. That's where those influencers meet. That's where those influencers connect with each other. So perhaps you start to craft a 45 or 60 minute, very powerful client magnet or donor magnet or partner magnet presentation where you start to become known as someone who's visible and credible through a speaking strategy. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's about publishing. And I don't mean online publishing. I mean writing articles for glossy magazines or publications or newsletters that reach that target demographic. So if you can get your article, your bylined article, into publications, both online publications and offline publications, that demographic reads and respects and trusts, that's another home run. But again, you have to do a little bit of buyer persona research to figure out, who are these people, where do they hang out online and offline, and then how can I put my value proposition and my insights and my recommendations and my opinions and my advocacy pieces in front of them so that they see it. So, a lot of times we're hyper-focused on social media as the be-all, end-all, and maybe for your organization or for this particular initiative that you're doing, social media is not even the answer.
Yeah, well, that's a good reminder, because that's not a common message for here. If you're online and you're looking to be sort of cutting edge, the message I hear more often is you have to be here. How could you not be here? We're the final frontier of spreading your message. So that's a good reminder.
Well, another great book that I recommend to everybody listening in, it's called Social Media Overload. Social Media Overload, and it's by my friend Corey Perlman. The very first line, Jen, of this book is, no, you don't have to be on Twitter. The very first line of the book. And then he goes from there. He says, listen, social media is a tactic, right? It's not the be-all, end-all. It hasn't replaced all of our other marketing and advertising and promotion and awareness building. It's one tactic. Now, in some cases, it's a very important tactic. It's a central tactic. It's a key, you know, it's a key ingredient to your success. But in other instances and for other projects or for other purposes, it may not be the answer at all. And even if you do have a social media strategy, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or YouTube or Pinterest or Instagram or, you know, any of the platforms, and there's more and more, you know, every day there's more platforms coming online. So even there's a source of social media overload, according to Corey's great book. But, you know, pick and choose. Pick one or two of the social media platforms where you've got a high concentration of the folks that you want to reach and a high probability of building an audience. And then, you know, automate and humanize is my advice. So I will answer your question directly about how do we build our online presence and our social media accounts. I think it's a combination of automate and humanize. And by automate, I mean using software tools like Hootsuite or Buffer or TweetAdder, or there's all these different tools that will help you schedule and time your postings. There's some metrics. You can actually look at some of those things using those same tools. But then the humanized part is, you know, have a couple of folks once or twice a day, go online, thank people, like you know, the comments that you get, reply and respond, and you'll be a human. And again, that's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, it's like, oh, how do I get 80,000 followers on Twitter by tomorrow? The answer is you don't. You know, you get 80,000 followers, one follower at a time. You get your 10,000 likes, one like at a time. You build your blog subscribers, one subscriber at a time. And it really is a marathon, not a sprint. I wish there were a silver bullet. I wish there were some magic beans that I could offer to people. But, you know, it's about high-quality content that's delivered consistently with high value and high relevance over a sustained period of time. So, you know, it's like, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice.
Right. And right, and don't work so hard to sort of reactively jump into a new platform and tire yourself out such that you can't be consistent and you can't be human. You don't have time to sort of close that loop. All right, so marathon. Build your followers one at a time. That seems doable to me.
Yeah. Well, it also takes off the, you know, kind of the overwhelm and the depression that sometimes comes. Like, well, how come this organization is doing so much better? Well, it's almost like compound interest. You know, why are they doing so much better? Because they started 9 months or 12 months or 24 months before you did. So you're not only looking at a competing organization, you're looking in a crystal ball. You're looking 24 months into the future. So, yes, you'll be there in 24 months, but they weren't there on day one either.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, thank you. This has all been really helpful. I'm sure that our listeners will enjoy these tips, and I imagine they are relevant to where folks find themselves these days.
And let me also offer, Jen, if folks want to follow up on any of this material, there's a ton of free resources on my website, which is doitmarketing.com. E-books, blogs, there's a podcast up there, just a ton of free resources, templates, tools, and downloads that folks are welcome to enjoy.
That's great. Thank you.